Psalm 103. The Psalms are actually five books, and they were compiled together, and they were used, you know, some of these, and some of our Orthodox churches, we still use that, that they were tuned into their singing, you know. And that's actually a good thing, because it kind of gets into people easy that way. Those traditional churches, they still do that. A lot of those are very good hymns, because they were teaching hymns, you know. And so the Psalms were almost that way. A lot of the teaching was incorporated into it. Of course, you have the prophetic Psalms and the messianic Psalms and all those other kind of Psalms, and then just have the worship Psalms. But a lot of the Psalms incorporated teaching into the Psalms as well. So look at this in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, in the Old Testament, they did not have a revelation of the Spirit, because they did not, they were not born again in the Old Testament. You and I are born again in the New Testament. Isn't that good that we're born again in the New Testament? So in the New Testament, because we're born again, we have a relationship with God. In the Old Testament, because they were not born again, they had a promise of a relationship with God. Not the same. A promise and an actual relationship are not the same. Amen? Single ladies, amen. A promise of a relationship and a relationship are not the same thing, right? If he's serious, he would do something about it. Amen. That's a word for somebody. Okay, now, let's go back to Psalm 103. Look at this in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That was the depth of what he knew. He didn't know the idea of the Spirit. So I said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. There was something deeper. He just didn't know what the something deeper was. So notice that this, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So the author of this psalm, David, was saying, everything I have, bless the Lord. Never mind the carpet. Bless him. Let my soul bless him. Let what is on the inside of me bless him. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. What happens when you bless the Lord? Now listen. And again, you all don't know me. If you did know me, I'm actually a very quiet person. I'm actually very shy. If I came into the room and nobody knows me, I would just sit quietly at the back. I very seldom try and do anything. So when I say bless the Lord, I'm not trying to make everybody shout. I am trying to shift our mindset into what blessing the Lord is. It's not shouting, but it's also not carpet inspection. There is a fine in between. And again, let me tell you this. This has nothing to do. This has nothing to do with anything I've seen or anything I've observed. I haven't seen you long enough to observe anything. You understand? And so, and nobody prepped me. I have no notes. I'm just hearing what is in my heart and speaking. I'm sharing this with you because for a move of God in any area to happen, it requires for a remnant to rise up. Somebody has to say, I will go first. Somebody has to say, I will take responsibility for this region and believe God for this region. Somebody has to say, I will go against whatever is necessary for the move of God in this place, in my generation. Somebody has to be the one. And the somebody who has to be that one, he will be so determined that even if no one goes with him, he will go alone. It might be someone here in the room who will believe God for this reason. It might as well be someone here in the room. And if it's someone here in the room, I say let's be selfish. Let not it be just one person. Let us all go together and want to believe God for this reason. Here's what happens when you bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, verse 2. And forget not all benefits. Wait, who does the blessing? You do. You choose to bless. You saw just now that it was a sacrifice of praise, wasn't it? Bless the Lord, all that is within me. Who's that? You do it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's you again. And forget not all his benefits. Who does the forgetting not? You do. You do. What happens when you don't forget? When you don't forget, it stirs up in you all the victory that God has done for you. He's delivered you. He's protected you. He's provided for you. He's set you free. He's healed you. And once all those, what we call emotions, once all those ideas, once all those thoughts, once all those memories get stirred up again on the inside of us, what it will do for you is it will put a shout in you, and the enemy hates the shout because then he wonders, now, what are they up to? Keep the enemy guessing. Keep smiling. He said, wait a minute. No, no. My Chinese, my Asian, my whatever culture makes me a quiet person until you win the lottery. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Let's try again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of His benefits. You know why people are quiet when it comes to blessing the Lord? Because they forgot His benefits. That's why people are quiet when it comes to blessing the Lord. They forgot His benefits. Hey, listen, I'm telling you this because I love you. True. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Yes? Yeah. Why would I come all this way, put on a nice suit? Amen. No, come on. Don't forget His benefits. When you forget, it will show. When you forget how He saved you, when you forget how He healed you, when you forget how He's delivered you, when you forget how He's provided for you, and then you just, you become a Tai Chi master. No, there must be a vibrancy. You say, wait, well, I just don't feel that. Once again, we talk about what you feel. You are not what you feel. You are the one feeling your feelings. If you are what you feel, who's the one feeling your feelings? Control how you feel. Don't let your feelings rule over you. Why would you allow for your feelings to overcome you and for you to act out how you feel? Learn to say, no, I refuse to let this feeling control me. It's got nothing to do with how I feel. It's got everything to do, because I'm a believer, it's got everything to do with what God says. Come on, last chapter. Almost there, last chapter. Only about 20 more verses to go. Come on, we can make it. It's all right, the whole Israel thing, that's next year, right? So we've got plenty of time. Come on, let's go. Don't worry about it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not some of His benefits. Oh, notice this. He says, remember everything. Don't forget. Remember it all. Why would He tell us to remember everything? Because God intends to bless you so much with so many benefits that you have a hard time remembering every single one. He's going to be so good, so abundant, so much of healing, so much of deliverance, so much of everything that you're going to have a hard time remembering it all. This is our Father. My cup runneth over. Do you notice that everything with God is never just enough? It's always a surplus. Why is that? That's His nature. Everything about God is more than enough. Nothing about Him is just so-so. And He does it so much, He has to tell you, hey, remember all the good I've done. Because there's so much good, we tend to forget. It's hard to forget when He's good in the morning, good in the afternoon, good in the evening. It's hard to forget when He's good daily, weekly, monthly, annually. It's hard to remember it all because He's just going to be so good to you. God intends to be good to you and me. And He's going to be so good that we will have to on purpose say, don't forget how God's been good to us. Remember last week, remember yesterday, remember last month. I want this to be my testimony. I want to have to remind myself, not because I forgot, because it was such a long time ago. I want to remind myself because He's done so much for me. Just this morning before I came to church, I sat down and purposely reminded myself. I sat down and purposely reminded myself some things He's done for me since last year, some things that I was believing God for, and different things that He's arranged. I purposely went ahead and said, Father, let me remember those things and what it felt like when I didn't have them and those situations that I didn't have. Remind me, Father, what it was like. And then I started saying, now God, but You did this for me. You turned that around. You gave us favor here. You supplied here. You protected here. And the moment I started remembering, nothing but praise could come out of me because I remember He was so good. Let's look at some of His benefits. Not all. Just look at a few. Yes? Just look at a few. Let's just look at a few. Bless the Lord, oh my, look at verse 2. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Here are some of his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Ooh, listen. I like how he says all. He emphasizes all. Did you know that we're not partially forgiven? He says, I've forgiven all your iniquities. That alone should make us shout. That alone should get us excited. All my iniquities. Think about it. All the iniquities have been forgotten. Forgiven. Ooh, that's something. That's something. Look at this. Who heals all your diseases. Oh, listen. When you start blessing the Lord, when you start saying, God, I'm going to bless you. Everything that's on the inside of me, Father, I'm blessing you because you've forgiven me of everything. You've healed me of everything. Oh, you're good. Your mercies are new every morning. It stirs up on the inside of you. All of you. And gratitude attracts more of whatever you're grateful for. Gratitude is a magnifier. It tunes you in to what you're paying attention to. That's why we do that with little kids. Have you noticed parents of little kids when they're learning to walk and they're stumbling around and then they fall down and maybe they bump their head or they bump their elbow and mom and dad will immediately pick them up and start packing them and start showing them other things. Look at the butterfly. Look at that bird. Look at that man over there. Do something like that. You know why they do that? Because as soon as the child takes its attention away from the pain goes away. Yes? Yeah. Do the same thing. The reason why your mountain seems so big to you is because you're looking at it all the time. You look at it all the time. Oh no, listen, look around. The sky above the mountain, God put it there. The land on the mountain, God put it there. The birds flying around the mountain, God put those there too. Look at all those other things and you will see the mountain is not that big. It's about perspective. And when I look back this morning, I was pondering my life because I do that on a regular basis. When I look back, I think, and what I do, most of it anyway, right? But we actually are involved a lot. We are, right now, besides all the traveling that I do in the U.S., we're in the middle of getting on radio and TV in Indonesia. And so I looked at all of that and I thought, Father, thank you. That because, and we didn't try, it came to us. I didn't even try, you know, it came to us. And I looked at all of that and I think, my Lord, you provided everything I need. And you know what my attitude is? God, I want some more. I do. I want some more. Yeah. You know, Psalm 91 says that with long life, he'll satisfy you. I'm not satisfied yet. If I'm satisfied, then my life is over. See, remember how I was telling you I do it because I enjoy doing it? I enjoy believing for the next big thing to come. I intend to be a part of everything that God's doing in my lifetime. If it's in my past, I want to be a part of it. Oh yeah, it's going to take money, it's going to take people, it's going to take a whole lot of things, tech expertise, none of which I have. But it doesn't matter, because I didn't have it before we started anyway. It's true, I didn't have it anyway, it doesn't make a difference. And if God can supply now. You see, this is what remembering will do for you. It reminds you what God has already done. And because he's already done what he's already done, you can have faith for him to do some more. Let's try this again. Who heals, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Boy, this is a complete list. You're forgiven, you're healed, and any kind of destruction, and I stand on this one a lot, anytime that anything comes against me, I'm like, Father, you redeem my life from destruction, you will not allow me to be destroyed. Oh, and I've had some situations, and again, just for the sake of being brief and the fact that we're recording this, just you all remember where we pastor our churches and where we do a lot of things. I've had groups come against us and want to destroy us. And I tell all my guys, we're going to stand on this. God's going to redeem our life from destruction. They will not be able to destroy us. As long as we're in the plan of God, we are invincible. Bless the Lord. Oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. Don't allow yourself to forget. When you do, your face droops. That's an outward sign of an inward no work. You can tell. I'm cutting down. I don't do as much anymore, but I still do a few weddings once in a while. And it never surprises me that on all the weddings I've done, whenever I said, do you take so-and-so, and do you take so-and-so, I've never seen one of them go, yeah, okay. I've never seen that. They don't all scream. Yes, I do. No, they don't do that either. But there is a, yes, I do. That's why I'm on TV. Yes, I do. Originally, we started on radio. It's true, we originally started on radio. And then we moved on to TV after that, and radio came back again. Your outward being is evidence of your inward being. Your outside is created by your inside. Your inside is not created by your outside. Why? Because you're spirit, soul, and body. Put this on you a little bit. Everything you have now, you had a hand in bringing into your life. I'm going to come over to this side and preach because two people said amen over here. The rest of you can think about it. The invisible created the visible. The visible did not create the invisible. If you got some joy going, if you got some remembering going, if you got some blessing going, you would change your outside. Sometimes it's not so much prayer that people need, they just need to start praising more. Yeah, yeah. You need to balance your prayer with some praise and get that up and running. You see. Come on, let's see if we can finish this year. Come on, let's try again. Who redeems your life from destruction? How does He redeem your life from destruction? He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. This is so sweet. It's so delicious. It's so overflowing. This is how our Father is. He crowns us with loving, tender kindness and mercy. But to have a sour face around someone who does this for us. You can't help but smile. Just a tiny bit of your tip. Smile. Just a little bit going. And again, we're not talking about forcing something. We're not talking about faking something. Not talking about that. But we are talking about having mastery over your body. We are talking about not letting your emotions rule you. You will regret the day when you allow your emotions to rule you. Because the day will come when you cannot afford to be moved by your feelings. And it will be too late because you've trained yourself for 30, 40, 50 years for your feelings to rule you, for your feelings to rule you, for your feelings to rule you. You don't want to be that person. You want to be the believer that God has ordained for you to be. And now it takes a little bit of a shift. And that's all it is, you know. When I lived in Asia, we drove, everybody here drove on the, you all drive on the right side, don't you? Right? You drive on the right side. And when I moved over there to the other part, we drove on the left. Same difference, except that now, you don't know which way you're turning sometimes, you know? Is that right? And actually, the truth is, many times when I first started driving there, thank God I don't do it anymore. But when I was there, I would go over into the wrong lane because if you're on this side when you turn, you guys go into the left, right? On that side when you turn, we go into the right. So many times I went into the lane and I saw this car coming right at me and I thought, you are in the wrong. Oh, it's my fault. Okay, I'm moving. You know. Now, so listen. Being led by your feelings and being led by your spirit. It's almost the same difference. It's just which lane you want to be on. You can just as easily be led by your heart as we've been trained to be led by our feelings. Just say no. It is just that simple. Just learn to yield to the Spirit of God every time He stops you, every time there is a pull to do something, to go into a certain specific place or talk to a certain specific person. Go and do that. It's the easiest thing you could do. Let's try again. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your what? Oh, remember how we were talking about the sacrifice of praise, and it has to be the fruit of your lips. Notice how it comes back to your words again. Now he says, look at this: who satisfies your mouth with good things? So your mouth will speak good of God. And when your mouth is good of God, it's because you're reminded of all that the Father has done for you. And when your mouth doesn't speak good of God, it's because you've forgotten all that the Father has done for you. Wow, this is a good message. I wish I was preaching it to my own home church. The words of your mouth are important. You must give praise to God. He values it more than the offering that you all put in the bags. You should put the offering in the bags anyway, but I'm just saying, as a matter of fact, don't use that as an excuse. Hey, elder, this morning I came with the fruit of my lips. don't hear anything I didn't say. Don't hear anything I didn't say. You have to. Only if you want to be obedient. You have to. Only if you want to reap the benefits of God. You have to. Only if you want to train your spirit to be stronger than your mind. You have to bring the sacrifice of praise. And hey, the sacrifice of praise is not just brought during church on Sunday afternoon. See, I remembered afternoon. Huh? Did you notice that? Good, pretty good, huh? I'm alert. See, did you see that? It's something that you can do all the time. And the more you do it, the more you will have reason to do it. Almost the last verse. What happens? Look at this. What happens? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. This is how you stay young. See, all the ladies said amen on that one. Did you notice that? The whole message, they were like, yeah. Oh, stay young, yes, amen, praise the hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This isn't just talking about physical age. Oh, everyone goes, why did you tell us that earlier? This isn't just talking about physical age. It is talking about a vibrancy. Have you noticed that when you have the teens and all that, they're always laughing, they're always joking, they're always dreaming up something new that they want to do because life is exciting. It hasn't been explored yet. Have you noticed that? Can you remember that? We should be like that. Life ought to be an adventure because I don't know yet all that God will do for me. I know what He will do, but how the specifics, I don't know yet. I'm finding out what are the mountains I will get to remove. I'm finding out what are the giants I will get to kill. I'm finding out what are the things I will get to accomplish for the kingdom of God. And He says, the more you bless me, the more you remember all the good things I've done for you, the more you will have an expectancy like... I think because we just had in America graduation, and everyone's excited with graduation because life is just going to start. Now we've got our diplomas, now we've got our degrees, and all life is all ahead of us. And this is what I think of. I think when we are blessing God and we remember what God has done for us, we have expectancy. And this is how you sum this up. There will be expectancy when you put God first. And when you honor Him, and when you worship Him, and when you bring the fruit of your lips and say, Father, I worship You. He leads and He guides us in the little bits and in the little things. It's an attitude. It's a position you take. It's a determination. It's a decision. Because the world is geared in such a way. Have you noticed? It's perfectly okay. And I'll guarantee you, it's even in your offices, right? It's perfectly okay for people to curse and swear. But if you are in your office and you something goes right, you say, oh, praise the Lord! Everyone turns and looks at you like that. Have you noticed that? Yeah, the world is geared. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go into the office tomorrow and start lifting your hands out real loud. Praise the Lord! Because if you did that, you might have to come to Elder Thomas next week and say, Elder, please pray for me because I got fired. That's not what we're suggesting. Not what we're suggesting. Not necessary. But your attitude must be, God's taken care of me. And because God's taken care of me, I know He'll take care of me again. And because He's taken care of me before, and because I know He'll take care of me again, I live life fearlessly. No one can put me down because they didn't bring me up. When you have that attitude about you, some people don't like it. But that's okay. Jesus had His Pharisees. I'm going to symbolically close my Bible now. It does not mean anything.
I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ, our best days are yet ahead. All around the world, there are remnants of people hungering after the move of God. And my heart, in talking to you these couple of minutes this morning, was to tell you, come on, all of us together, we can possess everything God has for us. None needs to be left behind. Our determination must be in the Word and the Spirit of God. Our determination must be in, plugged into all that God has for us. Allow for what God has started on the inside of you to burn bright. This region, I had some time with Elder and his wife a couple, two, 3 nights ago, something. And they were telling me about all the things that God has placed in their heart. And I thought, well, if God has placed that on their heart to do, then that means it's doable. Because if it were not doable, why would he tell someone to do something? Right? Would that not be unreasonable to tell someone to do something and then... No, the fact that God tells you to do something means it can be done. That applies for your professional life also. Anything that God has put in your... The only reason is there is because it can be done, but it has not been done yet. And in order for us to do all that God has for us to do, God will raise people up who will go, who will pioneer, who will finance. You all should have been more, you business people should have been more excited when I said who will finance. You should have been. Because if God can use you to finance that, imagine how much you will have left over. Because God doesn't take everything from you. Do you know that? That was never God's intention. He was never like, listen, give me 90 and keep 10. God's not like that. God's not like that. God is always, eat from every tree, just leave the two for me. That's how God is. I tell people, I tell people at my home church, you know, I tell them, you need to believe God to pay for everything that we have on our heart to do. Let's all be believing God to come and say, Pastor, what is it we need? Let's pay for the whole thing right now. Take care of it right now. But you have to understand, when he started the church, and we've been going to Indonesia for 20-some years. Many kampongs, no electricity, no running water. I would go. And then 3 years ago, the Lord led us to plant a church in the city. And the first meeting we had six people in my hotel room. And the first offering was $9. And now we're getting ready to go on TV. None of the six people were in any position to do anything. They were all broke. Every single one of them. And the Lord told me, tell them you will preach them rich. And we did simply what I'm telling you now. Support the vision of the church. Give in abundance. Help them do what God has put on their heart to do. And you will see God will take care of you. You all know that, where's the worship team? Do you all know that old song, as the deer panteth for the water? You all know that old song? Let's stand up and sing. Do you all know the song? Oh, thank you. I thought I'm going to sing a solo. I'm prepared to do it. No, listen, I want you guys to like me. You know, I want you to retain, I want you to... Let's stand and let's worship God with this. This song is from an echo psalm. So let's not sing it as a song. Let's worship God with it. Let's go ahead and sing slow and sing worshipfully. And like you were talking about, let's not be in a hurry. Let's take a little bit of time. Let's just worship the Father with it. And make it a prayer this morning, shall we? As the deer panteth for the water, so my heart longs after you. Let me pray for you before we sing. Father, in the name of Jesus, pray for my family here, my brothers and my sisters. Father, may our heart hunger after the Word and after the Spirit. May we always hunger after the Word, and may we always hunger after the Spirit. And in doing so, every good thing will come flowing to us. Every necessary thing will come flowing to us. I have on my heart specifically to talk to you business people. And I talk to business people a lot. And maybe you're not in business yet, you want to rise up and be in business. I tell you this. The way you rise up and be in business and do big, and be big. Some of you in here, the situation. Some of you in here are looking at, can we start? How can we start? I started before, it didn't work out, can I start again? Well, let me challenge you with this.Ring God into that picture. Bring expansion of the kingdom of God into that picture. And you will not